"I hope my brothers weren't bothering you, Mr. Bagman," said Percy at once. "What? Oh, not at all, not at all," said Bagman. "No, they were just telling me a bit more about those fake wands of theirs, wondering if I could advise them on the marketing. I promised to put them in touch with a couple of contacts of mine at Zonko's joke shop." Percy didn't look happy about this at all, and Harry was prepared to bet he would be rushing to tell Mrs. Weasley about it the moment he got home. Apparently Fred and George's plans had grown even more ambitious lately, if they were hoping to sell to the public. Bagman opened his mouth to ask Harry something, but Percy diverted him. "How do you feel the tournament's going, Mr. Bagman? Our department's quite satisfied. The hitch with the Goblet of Fire," he glanced at Harry, "was a little unfortunate, of course, but it seems to have gone very smoothly since, don't you think?" "Oh, yes," Bagman said cheerfully. "It's all been enormous fun. How's old Barty doing? Shame he couldn't come." "Oh, I'm sure Mr. Crouch will be up and about in no time," said Percy importantly. "But in the meantime, I'm more than willing to take up the slack. Of course, it's not all attending balls," he laughed airily. "Oh, no. I've had to deal with all sorts of things that have cropped up in his absence. You heard Ali Bashir was caught smuggling a consignment of flying carpets into the country. And then we've been trying to persuade the Transylvanians to sign the international ban on duelling. I've got a meeting with their head of magical cooperation in the new year." "Let's go for a walk," Ron muttered to Harry. "Get away from Percy." Pretending they wanted more drinks, Harry and Ron left the table, edged around the dance floor, and slipped out into the entrance hall. The front doors stood open, and the fluttering fairy lights in the rose garden winked and twinkled as they went down the front steps, where they found themselves surrounded by bushes, winding ornamental paths, and large stone statues. Harry could hear splashing water, which sounded like a fountain. Here and there people were sitting on carved benches. He and Ron set off along one of the winding paths through the rose bushes, but they had only gone a short way when they heard an unpleasantly familiar voice.
"Don't see what there is to fuss about, Igor."
"Severus, you cannot pretend this isn't happening."
Karkaroff's voice sounded anxious and hushed, as though keen not to be overheard.
"It's been getting clearer and clearer for months. I'm becoming seriously concerned. I can't deny it."
"Then flee," said Snape's voice, curtly. "Flee. I will make your excuses. I, however, am remaining at Hogwarts."
Snape and Karkaroff came around the corner. Snape had his wand out and was blasting rosebushes apart, his expression most ill-natured. Squeals issued from many of the bushes, and dark shapes emerged from them.
10 points from Hufflepuff, Fawcett," Snape snarled, as a girl ran past him. "And 10 points from Ravenclaw, too, Stibbins," as a boy went rushing after her. "And what are you two doing?" he added, catching sight of Harry and Ron on the path ahead.
Karkaroff, Harry saw, looked slightly discomposed to see them standing there. His hand went nervously to his goatee, and he began winding it around his finger again.
"We're walking," Ron told Snape shortly. "Not against the law, is it?"
"Keep walking, then," Snape snarled, and he brushed past them, his long black cloak billowing out behind him.
Karkaroff hurried away after Snape. Harry and Ron continued down the path.
"What's got Karkaroff all worried?" Ron muttered. "And since when have he and Snape been on first-name terms?" said Harry slowly.
They had reached a large stone reindeer now, over which they could see the sparkling jets of a tall fountain. The shadowy outlines of two enormous people were visible on a stone bench, watching the water in the moonlight. And then Harry heard Hagrid speak.
"Moment I saw you, I knew," he was saying in an oddly husky voice.
Harry and Ron froze. This didn't sound like the sort of scene they ought to walk in on somehow. Harry looked around back up the path, and saw Fleur Delacour and Roger Davies standing half-concealed in a rosebush nearby. He tapped Ron on the shoulder and jerked his head towards them, meaning that they could easily sneak off that way without being noticed. Fleur and Davies looked very busy to Harry, but Ron, eyes widening in horror at the sight of Fleur, shook his head vigorously and pulled Harry deeper into the shadows behind the reindeer.
"What did you know, Hagrid?" said Madame Maxime, a distinct purr in her low voice.
Harry definitely didn't want to listen to this. He knew Hagrid would hate to be overheard in a situation like this. He certainly would have done. If it had been possible, he would have put his fingers in his ears and hummed loudly, but that wasn't really an option. Instead, he tried to interest himself in a beetle crawling along the stone reindeer's back, but the beetle just wasn't interesting enough to block out Hagrid's next words.
"I just knew you were like me. Was it your mother or your father?"
I don't know what you mean, Hagrid."
"It was my mother," said Hagrid quietly. "She was one of the last ones in Britain. Course, I can't remember her too well. She left, see, when I was about three. She wasn't really the maternal sort. Well, it's not in their natures, is it? Dunno what happened to her. Might be dead for all I know."
Madame Maxime didn't say anything, and Harry, in spite of himself, took his eyes off the beetle and looked over the top of the reindeer's antlers, listening. He had never heard Hagrid talk about his childhood before.
"My dad was broken-hearted when she went. Tiny little bloke, my dad was. By the time I was six, I could lift him up and put him on top of the dresser if he annoyed me. Used to make him laugh."
Hagrid's deep voice broke. Madame Maxime was listening, motionless, apparently staring at the silvery fountain.
"Dad raised me. But he died, of course, just after I started school. Sort of had to make me away after that. Dumbledore was a real help, mind. Very kind to me, he was."
Hagrid pulled out a large, spotted silk handkerchief and blew his nose heavily.
"So, anyway, enough about me. What about you? Which side you got it on?"